the reason that I wrote this book was because I felt there was a need for this kind of book, that people who were involved in the events, they're growing old, and their stories are not being told. I thought about it for so long, and I thought, well, if I don't write this book, who will write this book? So I really hope that this book will really, in some ways, reopen the discussion about how history is treated and how people in China have gone along with the government, and how this whole sense of national identity that has been created is actually riding on the back of, in many ways, history which is false.
Your book has many personal interviews with people who were in and around the events of Tiananmen Square in 1989. Tell me a little bit about some of these interviews that you conducted and some of the logistics involved in speaking with these people. It's a very sensitive topic.
It is a very sensitive topic. And several of the people who I interviewed were under various forms of surveillance because of their past. So, for example, there's one woman called Zhang Xianling, 76 years old, but she is a co-founder of a group called the Tiananmen Mothers. Her 19-year-old son died in 1989. He died from one bullet to the head when he tried to take a picture of the martial law troops. And she set up this group with some of the other relatives of the dead, trying to get a truth compensation and accountability from the Chinese government. The first time I went to visit her, when she opened the door to me, the very first words that she said were, "I had a telephone call from the police this morning and they knew you were coming." So there was very much a sense of being followed and being watched. And that was also the case with another of my interviewees, Bao Tong, who was one of the highest level government officials jailed after the protests. He spent 7 years in jail. He had been really the right-hand man of Zhao Ziyang, the Communist Party leader who was deposed during the protests. Bao Tong, he lives in Beijing still, and he lives in his own home, but he is watched all the time. So we'd often meet in the McDonald's just down the road from his flat. He would point out to me who his security detail were, and he was always very, very open about what he was doing and who he was meeting, because that's the way that he's lived for the past 25 years.
It's truly amazing that a lot of these people, especially now in their 70s, are still followed so closely that the government still has a sense of distrust in what they might be up to.
Yes, it is surprising that you have a country that is the world's second largest economy with almost $4 trillion in reserves. And yet they're worrying about the activities of a very small group of people. Zhang Xianling, the woman who co-founded the Tiananmen Mothers, I think she summed it up best when she said to me something along the lines of, "Isn't it amazing that the state can be so worried about a little old lady like me?" It shows how powerful we are, these group of old people, because we represent righteousness, and the state knows that, and that's why they're scared of us.
Did you get any sense through your interviews that at some point in time, the government may open up a little bit about this issue, or are they just content to let it disappear into the fog of history?
Well, you know, every time there is a new set of leaders that ascend to the top positions in China, now that happens every 10 years, there's always this discussion about whether they're going to reassess the events of Tiananmen Square. And there was hope 18 months ago, before Xi Jinping and Li Keqiang took power, that this might happen. But in fact, each time there's been, you know, raised hopes and then crushing disappointment. And this time, I think the disappointment has been even deeper than normal, because very early on, the new Communist Party leader, Xi Jinping, he signaled that, you know, not only was 1989 not up for discussion, but actually anything that happened, even during the reign of Chairman Mao, none of that was up for discussion. When I started doing this book, and I just wanted to find out how much young people knew about 1989, I went to some of Beijing's top universities, and I took the picture of Tank Man, the man standing in front of the line of tanks. And I asked 100 students if they could tell me when and where this picture was taken. And I was really surprised that only 15 out of 100 could place the picture as being taken in China. And that really made me think that the Chinese government's been very successful at, you know, deleting this memory and making sure that young people, they're just not interested in politics. They don't seek out that kind of information because they know that it could be dangerous. So I think that that was one thing that surprised me.
With the government's push to erase Tiananmen from the memory, at least from people who were born after the fact, there are millions of Chinese who lived through that time and remember that time. Is there any sense that they have passed that on to their children and tried to at least tell them the events of what happened?
That was the thing that also surprised me a great deal, was the extent to which people who have been part of the Tiananmen generation and who were taken to the streets, and after all, remember that hundreds of thousands of protesters all around the country took to the streets. Those people now are grown up, they're middle aged, they have their own children, and it surprised me the extent to which they have not passed on the knowledge of what happened to their children. The reason that they haven't is because they perceive it to be dangerous. I tell the story in my book of an artist called Sheng Qi. He was not in Tiananmen Square at the time when the crackdown happened, but he was so disgusted by the behavior of the government that as a protest, he chopped off his own little finger with a kitchen cleaver. And for years afterwards, he made artworks using his mutilated hand, artwork that talked about, you know, the behavior of the state and opening fire on its own people and its attitude towards history. But nowadays, he has a young son, and he still hasn't told his son how he lost his finger. If his son asks him, he just makes up stories. He tells him he left it on a bus. And the reason he told me was because his son is still a kid, and he wants to protect him. And it's knowledge that carries a price with it.
The Western focus, of course, all these years, has been on the events of what happened in and around Tiananmen Square on June 4th, 1989. But there were other protests, many protests, around the country, and you tell that story in the chapter titled Chengdu.
Yes, and again, that was something that surprised me a lot. I didn't know that there had been these huge protests outside Beijing. And I certainly didn't know what had happened in Chengdu, and it was something that I just stumbled across. By the end, I was really sort of bowled over by what I found out. You know, this was an entirely forgotten crackdown that happened. People died in Chengdu as well. Even according to official sources, 8 people died, and 1,800 people were injured in early June. And yet that's been forgotten in the West, in China, even in the city where it happened. And these were events that were viewed by tens of thousands of people.
In your research of the crackdown in Chengdu, you found that the student protest wasn't so much about democracy, but it was about corruption within the Communist Party. And interestingly, that seems to be one of the top complaints among Chinese residents today.
Yes, indeed. And I mean, I think that really remains one of the reasons why the events of 1989 are so relevant to the leadership today. I mean, if you look at all of those unresolved demands that the students had for more freedom, more democracy, tackling corruption, tackling abuse of power, constitutionalism, these are all topics that really have not been resolved. And these demands, you know, are more pressing than ever today. So I think that is really at the crux of some of the fears that the government has over Tiananmen, that if people find out what happened and find out these were the very same demands that people have today, they will be asking, well, what has the government been doing all these years?